Good afternoon. You are listening to the Andy Senka Youth Empowerment Program here on KDNK Community Radio. This is the first episode of Around the World with Dylan Forbes. I'm Dylan, and I'll be your host for today's show. Around the World is a podcast that interviews people who are deeply connected to geography, culture, and travel. We aim to share their interests with the community by telling stories and sharing diverse perspectives. I'm excited to introduce my guest, Edward Danahy. Mr. Danahy teaches geography at or social studies at Roaring Fork High School. I thought it would be really interesting to interview someone with such broad knowledge of geography and how they use it to impact and teach the community about geography. And I'm looking forward to introducing my guest to the community. Let's get started. To begin, can you please introduce yourself and share what got you interested in geography?
Hey, Dylan. It's good to be here with you. You said I had a broad knowledge of geography, and I think that I'm about to prove that I don't.
Oh, no.
My name is Edward Bush Danahy. I am a transplant to the Roaring Fork Valley. I started teaching at Roaring Fork High School in 2021, okay. I believe, nice. After I graduated from Colorado Mesa University. And then what was the second part of that question there?
And what got you interested to start with?
Well, I've always been interested in geography. I've always been curious to see how physical geography and then how human geography affects who we are as people and how it changes how we grow and how we develop as our wonderful, diverse planet that we have. Mm-hmm. I started teaching human geography at Roaring Fork because you don't really get a lot of choice of what you teach when they hire you on. They say, this is the slot we need filled. And that was the thing that I started with. I had originally regular geography and AP human geography. And then now I'm just doing AP, which is, of course, the college level.
Yes.
And also U.S. history, AP U.S. history and psychology now.
Nice. All right. That's really interesting. All right. So I guess we can just start right up with it. So how has teaching geography changed your perspective or view on the world?
Yeah. So like I said, I'm not from the Roaring Fork Valley originally. And when I came here, I sort of realized like my experience, while not necessarily being the most, I don't want to say like I'm the most like worldly or well-traveled, but, you know, I came from a big city, and coming here, I realized that people don't necessarily have the same background. And so I think there's a really big value to teaching geography because, you know, we kind of live in a sheltered area, both like physically and, you know, metaphorically, like we're protected from a lot of the elements, you know, we get snow, but we don't get sandstorms or tornadoes or earthquakes or anything like that.
Exactly.
And we also don't see a lot of people coming through here. Mm-hmm. So I came to sort of love geography because it was my opportunity to expand a bunch of students' horizons, even though they probably don't love that I do.
Wow, that's really interesting. I think geography, especially in such a sheltered area, is really important, especially to teach high school students. I think that's really cool.
Thank I do my best. I don't know how much they take home at the end of the day, but I do my best.
I mean, I think a lot of people are very engaged in your class and stuff. I mean, at least in my view. All right. Now, how has growing up in Denver impacted your perspective on geography in the world?
Yeah, so I went to Denver South High School, which was a high school that I think had like 3,000 people in it.
Oh,
I don't know.
Wow.
Somebody fact check me on that. But a lot of people and a very, very diverse population of people. We had people, you know, from Northern Africa, Southeast Asia, Eastern Europe. I mean, everywhere. And so there was, you know, going through, you know, going to a city, it's naturally going to be much more diverse,
yeah.
Right? There's always, you know, we're learning about the laws of migration and
definitely.
Right, why it's an attractive place for people to go. But going to that high school and going through the city and just like, there's so many people who believe so many different things. religion, culturally, all of that. It really made me realize that when I went to college at CMU in Grand Junction, I was like, wow, I kind of miss that. You know, it's like you don't get the same level of experience that a lot of people bring from across the world, for better or worse. But I would say that was sort of the big thing about Denver. And also in Denver, it's like you are constantly around people all of the time. And you get to know them really well. And I think that a lot of your knowledge of people just kind of comes through like general osmosis, you know, again, something that we unfortunately don't have a ton of out here. But yeah, Denver, again, is not even like the most international city that we have here in the United States, right? Like it's just, it's almost smack dab in the middle. And even though I believe it has the largest population of Mongolian people.
Really?
Anywhere in the United States.
Oh, wow.
Which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I never heard that before. I mean,
again, I might need to be fact checked on that one. But
that's really cool, though. I mean, see Mongolian barbecue spots in Denver. Really, really good.
So delicious. And the food alone. You hit the nail on the head. First of all, every place is open way later.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is a great thing. But on top of that, the food is just like so good. And it comes from people, you know, who have been like making it their whole lives.
Yeah.
And just like the culinary aspect, which I don't think people consider as being a part of geography, but it very much is.
Definitely.
Is really powerful.
Yeah. I think that's really cool. I mean, I'm honestly kind of jealous. I think it would be really cool to kind of grow up in. I mean, our valley definitely is more diverse than some areas of the United States, like really tiny towns, but I think it would be really cool experience to be in a larger, really multicultural city. I think that's
I mean, something that I do want to say, you know, we're going to be learning about like globalization and how we become more and more connected with other people. If you just like look down the street here in Carbondale, you have so much available, which is incredible. I mean, we have a Japanese restaurant, we have pad Thai, we have an Italian restaurant, we've got American food, we've got Mexican food, we've got like we've got everything here, and there's still more to be experienced and more food to try and more cultural experiences to have. So we're very lucky with what we do have, but there's again, so much more, too.
Definitely. I think it's really interesting, touched on globalization. I think it's just really cool, in my opinion, how you can go to, like, anywhere in the world. Like, I remember a few years ago, I went to Montreal, and we weren't supposed to be there. We had, like, our flight got canceled, so we were just stuck there, and we were exploring through the city, and they had this massive Chinatown. I mean, like, I would not have expected that before going to Montreal. Like, I would have thought it was, since it's like French Canadian, I would have thought more, I don't know, I guess just not really sure what I thought of, but that wasn't really it. And I think that just really, I just really thought that was cool and kind of took me aback. And I think it's just really interesting how you can get that pieces of anywhere in the world.
And that's a vocabulary term that we're learning in class right now, is that ethnic enclave.
Yeah, right.
Where we even learn about, with the laws of migration, people tend to move to areas where other people are like them and share similar beliefs. So you get a lot of those ethnic enclaves in basically every city.
Yeah, exactly.
Every town that you go to, you might have smaller versions. But yeah, it is really fascinating. It's kind of weird, too, when you walk into it, because it's like, it's just different.
Yeah,
you know,
it is.
It's like you almost step in temporarily to another country or another slice of life.
Yeah, exactly. Way to put it. Yeah, I think that was a really very interesting conversation. And I think now kind of move it to more, I think we kind of touched on a bit of travel, but I think we'll move the conversation even more in that direction. So where have you traveled and what are some memorable experiences from your trips?
Yeah, so I'm going to out myself on public radio, but my like first like trip outside of the country was when I was in, I want to say I was like 9 or 10, and it was to Mexico. It was like Cancun, and I was going with my family. Nice. And I've been a couple times. Definitely not the most authentic experience, maybe, of going through Mexico. But aside from that, my only real trip outside of the country was in last December, and this January, I was in Japan and South Korea.
Yeah.
And so it was my first international experience and like away from North America at the very least. And it was kind of like, it was some culture shock for sure. Yeah, Japan was incredible. I mean, number one, just the small cultural differences, between like how people interact there.
Yeah.
The public transportation in Japan is, of course, infamously, or maybe I should say famously, reliable. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly complex, but very easy to use at the same time. But it's, you go into like the subway station and you ride on the train and it is dead silent. People do not, they don't talk to each other. They're not talking on the phone. They're not playing music on Bluetooth speakers. That they, like, every single person in Japan is like in their own little world. And it's just like a respect thing.
Yeah.
And I just thought that to me was crazy. And I was like, I was there and I was like, I kind of want to say something or strike up a conversation with somebody. But I think that was just the American in me showing, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I have been to Japan. It was a bit longer. I think it was like going on 3 years now. And I just, again, I also really noticed all the small cultural differences. I think respect is such a big thing there. I mean, like, the bowing, the mannerisms. I actually took kind of a Japanese, like, language class last year. And it was just really interesting. Like, before the meal is served, there's a certain phrase that you say to thank all the people and processes to get the food onto your plate. And then when you're done, and actually when the food comes, all the people who prepared it. And then when you're done, all the people, or actually, no, I think that's when you're done. But I thought that was just really interesting. All the
and it's
touches.
So like, I think that to take it away from Japan, that's such a powerful thing when you're going to another country, just learning like the simple things, right? You know, the first thing like I learned is like, thank you and excuse me, right?
Exactly.
And just being able to like, you know, going to Japan, I think I sort of stuck out like a sore thumb, you know? I'm probably like twice the height and five times the weight of the average Japanese person. But on top of that, just being able to like, in very broken Japanese, like respectfully speak to them and show that like you respect their customs, I think goes everywhere.
Exactly.
And it really opens a lot of doors. Even learning like just like simple conversational phrases, so much so that they look at you and they're like, oh, I know where you're from. And then they switch to English because they've been practicing it for decades at that point.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think that's an important part of maybe our duty as travelers is to show respect for those cultures when we're learning about them as well. So I really think that what you did was very valuable.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's definitely something I've experienced, not just in Japan, but in other countries. I think everybody, even if you speak it kind of poorly, I think everybody just really appreciates
the effort. Yeah, it takes effort to do so. Yeah.
I think just really kind of can lead, even if it's like something simple. And if you know a few words and you're trying to practice the language, I think it can lead to a more like even more meaningful interaction.
Right.
You get to really meet some really cool people. And
yeah.
I think it just really pays off to interact and learn the culture, parts of the language. Yeah.
That was sort of the toughest part of Japan for me was, again, I am an American, and from what I hear from like our exchange students and what I've heard talking to people is like, we're so social and we're so friendly, and that's kind of unusual. And in like, you know, here in the United States, it's like you can almost like look at somebody and then you can like strike up like a light conversation.
Yeah.
In Japan, I really struggled because number one, I didn't want to be disrespectful. Number two, I was petrified of being that loud, boisterous, annoying American stereotype. But number three, I was like, I just don't know how to approach somebody and talk to them. And that was kind of like maybe an isolating experience of my travels was I wasn't well traveled enough to know and respect the customs, but also I wasn't I wish I could have learned a lot more from the people.
Yeah. I think it's also kind of benefits from having, like, more social experience in, like, countries that are... I feel like the people in Japan, at least in my experience, were very friendly. I think it just takes... not the same type of friendly that will just strike up a conversation with you, like, offer you tea. Like, I noticed when I went to Turkey, that mm-hmm. was, like, how everybody is. Like, they're... like, Turkey and Japan are both very friendly, but in very different ways. Like, Turkey, yeah. like, the people say hi to you on the street, offer you tea, strike up a conversation. Wow. I mean, and I think that kind of, when you have those interactions, that kind of comes in handy because you're able to be more social and kind of, like, you can be in their position a bit more, I feel like. So
right.
I think that's kind of a... cool thing when you travel to some more, like, really, I guess, extroverted countries. Yeah. And then
to that point, right, when yeah. I went to South Korea, you know, in Japan their cars are so tiny,
yeah.
right, and like it's very different. They drive on a different side of the road, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I had never realized that. Mm-hmm. Embarrassingly. And then I went to Korea, I was surprised how much it reminded me of the United States.
Really?
And, you know, it's like, you know, there's a lot of, like, elements of, like, Korean culture, but it was, like, they had, like, a lot bigger cars and a lot more things were, like, in English and the people were more social. And, you know, I mentioned how quiet Japan was, even on the street. You know, Tokyo, which yeah. is the largest city on Earth, is yes. quiet.
Exactly.
Right? And yeah. then you go to Korea and it's like people are talking, right, having a good time, you know, there's cars honking and like all that. So it was like culture shock again in the sense where I was like, oh, okay. And so it was really interesting to go to Korea and I felt a lot more comfortable there, like striking up conversations to people.
Yeah.
With people, sorry. And yeah, no, it was really fun and I'm looking forward to pushing myself outside of my comfort zone again.
Definitely.
With travel.
Yeah, I think I like that concept. I think pushing yourself out of your comfort zone, I think that can just really lead to some really yeah. memorable experiences. And I mean, if there's somewhere you're not sure you want to go to because you've heard not the best things about it and stuff, I mean, I feel like in some way you want to be careful for yourself and make good choices, but in some ways you also have to get out of your comfort zone a little yeah. bit because it can just really some of the best experiences of your life can yeah. come from that.
My stepmom had a magnet on the fridge. Every time I didn't want to do something when I was a teenager, mm-hmm. she would point to it and it was life begins outside of your comfort zone.
Nice.
Right? And it just summarizes it perfectly, right?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Anytime you're uncomfortable, you're growing and you're learning.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that's the beauty of meeting people from mm-hmm. around the world and going and experiencing new cultures.
Definitely. I think that's just probably, in my opinion, the most rewarding part of travel
yeah.
and stuff. Let's see. I think there's another question here. I think we've kind of touched on this a lot through our conversation here, but if you have any other extra thoughts on it, I'd be interested to hear. How has traveling expanded your mindset on geography and other cultures?
Yeah, I think that for me, it was... it was kind of enlightening to look at, this is going to be weird and I'm saying it on public radio, but trees are different. Mm-hmm. And that's just such a strange thing to say, but I've grown so accustomed to having the trees that I've grown up around and so on and so forth. And you go to another country and I'm not a botanist or anything like that, but it's like the trees look different and the plants look different. And I'm mm-hmm. sure that it's just the placebo effect or something, but realizing like, wow, like we all have trees, but our experiences and like what they look like, our perspectives are all just inherently different.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, little things like that, architecture as
yeah.
well. And so like seeing all of these things and saying, wow, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And like, or even sometimes saying like, wow, I hate that. In Japan, they have their drain is in the center of the bathroom floor.
Oh, right.
So
yeah.
in some of their places, like you'll take a shower and it floods the whole bathroom. And I remember I was like, that is just not my favorite thing.
Yeah.
But they had other things like like their bathroom floors and everything is heated,
exactly.
Which is so nice.
Yeah.
So yeah, expanding the horizons and seeing the small things, I think is super valuable on top of the
definitely.
Big things.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think that's just, I've also kind of experienced that. You just really tend to notice all the smaller things when you're traveling.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Now, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to Around the World with Dylan Forbes. My guest today is Mr. Danahy, a social studies teacher at Roaring Fork High School. We've been talking about geography, culture, and travel. All right. So, yeah, if you haven't been listening for the past 20 or so minutes. But now let's jump back into the questions. Why do you we're going to kind of shift back towards, like, teaching and stuff. Why do you think it's important for students in the Roaring Fork Valley to learn about geography and other cultures?
That's a great question. There's no harm in learning things, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that I have always lived with the bias of the way I've done things is like, oh, like I think that us as humans normally say, like, I'm doing this the right way.
Yeah.
Or I'm doing it my way. And I think we assume that it's the right way. And I think going to other places and learning about other people and learning about the struggles that they mm-hmm. face and the challenges and also the great benefits they have based on where they're living, you know?
Yeah.
I think that many people don't move too far from home mm-hmm. in, or don't travel too far from home. And I sort of view it as like, this is my one opportunity to perhaps expose people to another country on earth. And so much to my students' chagrin, I made you guys do like a mapping assignment.
Yeah.
Right. And I have students who are like, where the heck is Ethiopia? And, you know, and it's like, what is Botswana and Eswatini or, and, you know, and it's like, it's like, there's so much out there, mm-hmm. and I'm not saying you need to experience it all, but there's no harm in learning about it. And, you know, we're also very lucky in the United States that we have a surplus of resources, a surplus of space.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a lot going for us.
Definitely.
And so other people face challenges that seem foreign to us mm-hmm. because, I mean, I guess pun intended, I guess they kind of are. So
yeah.
Learning about those is really important because I think it builds empathy and awareness and an appreciation for how lucky we are.
Yeah, I think that's a really cool point where, especially for people who haven't traveled much yet, they get a kind of experience, like, I don't know, more multiculturalism and just really learning about the world. I think that's a really cool point. Yeah. Let's see. So how do you get your students engaged in this type of content?
Anytime I tell an adult that I teach social studies, mm-hmm. I get one of two answers. Mm-hmm. And the first one, and the most common one, is, whoa, I hated social studies back in high school. And then the much less common one, but the one that I hear sometimes is, I love social studies.
Mm-hmm.
There's never anybody who's like, oh, cool, social studies, right? So my goal, number one, is to make it relatable. And my big thing is when I was a teenager, I always asked the question, how does this affect me? Why does this affect me?
Mm-hmm.
So explaining how, and geography, how like resource management or migration or cultural aspects affect the average student is really important. And then I also, of course, always want to implement humor and mm-hmm. I make a fool of myself every day.
Yeah.
So at least if the content is not memorable, they remember me maybe a little bit and... You know, by osmosis, get the rest.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you definitely do a good job of that in class. I think a lot of kids, I think, even more than other classes with humor and just the content, too, I think.
That, I do my best. I mean,
yeah.
I had a failed stand-up career, so now I have a captive audience that has to laugh or else I can fail them.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. So we're kind of approaching the end of the podcast here, but is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners?
You know, when it comes to geography, I think that the world is simultaneously so large and so small.
Mm-hmm.
And this day and age, there's so many opportunities to try new things.
Mm-hmm.
To anybody who is listening, I would say if you're at the grocery store, go find some new crazy food and cook it.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like there's so much to be learned by the world and so many lessons to be taught by other people. If you have the ability, if you, you know, if you have the wherewithal, you should absolutely try to do those things. And on top of that, you should learn the capitals of major countries. You should know the state capitals. I know we've moved away from that, but it always comes up in trivia night.
Yeah, exactly.
So sometimes learning some basic knowledge leads to more advanced things, and there's no harm in learning more about other people across the world.
Definitely. I think it's always worth it to learn more about geography. I mean, like, for me, it's my favorite subject, so I really enjoy learning about it. And I also encourage everybody just to kind of find something fun with geography. I mean, like, whether that's, like, playing GeoGuessr or something, just... I mean, I think it's just a really fun subject.
And I mean, there's so much out there, right? Like, if you love sports, go find... Like, I still don't understand what the heck cricket is, right? But it's like like a high-intensity sport, right? And it's like, if food is your passion, I mean, that one's easy. If, you know, video games are your passion, if movies are your passion, whatever passion you have, other countries have it, and you can experience new things. And hey, maybe you're like, I don't like this, and that's okay, but you tried it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There's no harm.
I think that's a really good point. I think just really good to... get out of your comfort zone, experience new things, and think, all right. Unfortunately, that's all we have for today. Mr. Danahy, thank you so much for joining us on Around the World today, and thank you for listening. I hope you all have a great day.
Thank you for having me, Dylan.
Thank you.